Hello, everyone. This is Tom Trush of RightWaySolutions.com, and welcome to the latest installment of my Marketing Mind series. These interviews are designed to provide you with easy access to some of the best marketing resources available. My goal is to give you useful ideas and valuable tools you can use immediately to attract attention, create customers, and build your business. Best of all, these recordings are absolutely free for you to use and distribute. So please feel free to pass them on to anyone who wants to enhance their promotional efforts. On this recording, you'll hear from Stuart Selps, a former computer repair tech who transformed himself into a sought-after business coach, speaker, and thought leader. As the owner of Stuart Selps Consulting, Stuart offers executive-level business coaching for managed services providers and value-added resellers. In the last 2 years, his partners have seen a $3 million average increase in new recurring revenue. In addition to frequently presenting at his industry's top events, Stuart is a member of the MSP Mentor 250 and has been named an MSP Alliance Business Advisor and Autotask Rockstar. During this 47-minute interview, you'll discover how to become your industry's obvious expert, as well as the key question you must ask to ensure you're viewed by clients as the go-to authority who can solve their most pressing problems, how to use marketing's politicking approach to put yourself in front of leaders who can boost your industry standing, a surprisingly simple strategy for stimulating creative juices so you can come up with fresh ideas for writing, speaking, and discussion opportunities, as well as a quick way to ensure you never forget those thoughts. The most overlooked and often avoided way to better understand and build enthusiasm for your product or service. A simple trick for securing more speaking opportunities at conferences, trainings, and workshops. How to strengthen your presence on social media, including the critical piece to your website that proves your position as an industry expert, and much more. So let's get started. Okay, Stuart, before we get started with the interview portion, I just wanted to give people who listen to this a quick background on how I know you, how we met, and the reason for today's recording. And basically, we met probably about 6 years ago at the South Mountain Levine Chamber of Commerce, and I got to know you through networking events, and then you started helping me with the problems, all the tech repair on my computer, and then doing backup stuff for my computer. And slowly but surely, I after you got out of that, I've just watched you from afar, and I've seen how you've really elevated your stuff to a high level in your industry, and I'm extremely impressed. So I thought this would be a great opportunity to find out how you did it and share your insight with listeners to see how you went from computer repair tech all the way up to your industry's obvious expert, where today you're getting interviewed, you're a business coach, and you're just a an in-demand executive that people look to. So just want to first start out and give that a little background information, but now Stuart, just hoping you can give a little insight into what you do, and then we'll start getting into how you got to where you're at today. So can you just tell a little bit about yourself and what you do, Stuart?
All right. Well, Tom, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on this interview. I love telling my story of where I got started and where I'm at and how I help people. So really, we go back a ways. Again, it's great to catch up with you, but when I started my IT company in 2002, I didn't know how I was going to shape it. And basically I started just fixing computers and doing some networking through the Greater Phoenix Chamber and the South Mountain Levine Chamber, and that's where we met. Really, when we met, I was making the transition to what we call a managed service provider into our industry. And I was probably a year into that already, and getting things rocking and rolling in that. And a managed service provider is somebody who does something flat rate, more consultative. And the way I was taking that business, I would still do some P&M, time and material, just computer fixing work for friends of mine like yourself. But really, as I transitioned into that, I saw more of a consultative practice with businesses. And in 2007, when I did sell my IT firm, I thought about more on how I could help others become successful. And I was doing some consulting for a couple different vendors in the industry, and really spent about a year and a half doing that, and kind of broke out on my own to offer coaching services to smaller IT companies. And, And over the last 3 or 4 years, I've really, as you say, become an industry expert in speaking at a number of events by blogging and some of the things that we'll talk about in this interview. But, you know, I've really kind of helped people elevate their game. It's really not about what I've done, but it's how I've helped others. And that's what I think I've always been about throughout my entire career, you know, 20-plus years in the IT industry, is helping others. And now I get to do it for multiple businesses around the globe.
Right. And I remember when, you know, just sitting there as you're working on the computer, you know, us having conversations, you tell me about different people, the businesses that you were working with. I'm just kind of curious, you know, you mentioned, you know, even back then, seeing opportunities for doing some consulting for different businesses. What were some of those the things that you saw that helped you realize that there was a need for these companies to be on a consultant level? I think there's a lot of people in business, especially service-related businesses, who, you know, want to do more consulting. What were the things that you saw that made it so that you said, well, there's a need for me here, I can probably do some consulting for these companies?
Yeah, there's a lot of businesses out there that get started due to mishaps in the world. People lose their job, especially in today's economy and in today's job market. People will start businesses because of things that happen, not because they're driven, they're funded well, things along those lines, but just because they need to create some kind of income. And that's what I see a lot, especially in the IT industry. And for those of you who are listening that have a small business, that have hired this IT guy to fix your computers, and that's kind of what I was, but I really saw myself as a CIO to the small businesses that I was working with. And you know, because of my background in business and my education and things that I've done in the past, because I've always been good at building companies, I would sit down with my clients and say, listen, we should do this way. And they're like, hey, you know, they've never had that kind of experience. So I would tell anybody who wants to be consultative in any line of work that you're at, okay, is look at your client's business rather than yours. Okay? Look at their business. What can you do to benefit them? And when I started doing that a few years back, you know, especially when I had my IT company, what can my business do to benefit this other company? And then started asking that question. What can I do to help you? First of all, there was probably 10 seconds of silence because the computer guy asking, hey, what can I do to help you? Not just how much money can I take or can I bill you $200 an hour? But after that 10 seconds of silence, I got to listen for a half an hour to a business owner saying, you know, we want to do this, we want to do this, we don't want to do this, we don't really need this, and hearing about their business, because at the end of the day, I was not an expert in their business, I was an expert in providing technology solutions. So when I started making the transition to be more of an IT consultant, a business consultant that provided technology solutions and adding people to my staff, it just made me know that this is the way I was going to go, and if and when I ever sold my company, I would want to help other people learn that lesson.
I see. Well, the whole the whole overall theme with this interview is we really want to focus on how the steps that you took to really make yourself that industry authority, and it looks like just simply asking that question, what can I do to help you, really helps establish you as an authority, because you are looking to help, and it's not about you, like you said. I'm kind of curious, though, and this is kind of a basic question, but why do you believe it's so important to be perceived as an industry authority rather than just an IT repair guy?
Well, let me kind of ask the question with a question. Sometimes you got to be interviewer on the spot. Do you want to be working with an expert, or do you want to be just working with somebody who can do the job? Okay, who do you want? Would you rather pay somebody $150 an hour or X amount of dollars if they're perceived as the expert, or would you like to save a little bit of money for someone who just do the job? Which one's going to benefit your business better?
Oh, the expert. Okay? Everyone wants to work with the best.
The expert's always going to be the person who's going to benefit your business better. Now, small business owners who might be listening to this, I would like for you to think about who you're dealing with. Okay. And the way I set myself as an industry expert is to have a successful company, is to be on panels at industry events, okay, and we'll talk about that here in just a second, but really talk about my business, and even at events, get my industry to know of myself as an expert, even though I was just like everybody else, looking for the same nut to crack, okay? But my industry accepted me as an expert. So then I started talking to clients and business owners as I was providing to them, hey, this is what we should do. And as I got out of that business, I had already set myself up as somebody who was the go-to person in my industry. So I was thinking, I'm going to use the hockey analogy that Wayne Gretzky always used to use, is don't worry about where the puck is at, where is the puck going, okay? Being a hockey fan, it just kind of fits in well with me. But where do you want to be down the road, okay? It could be 2 steps down the road or 5 years down the road, but where do you want to go at some point? And when I got out of my business, I was turning 40. I know that's not very old to be selling a business or whatever, but the last thing I wanted to be thinking about is, if one of my staff didn't show up, did I want to be running under the desk? Did I want to be pulling cables? Did I want to be managing these projects? No. As a business owner, as a CEO, I wanted to be the CEO. I wanted to be working on marketing strategies, hiring the right people to do the job, finding the right types of clientele or vendors to bring into my mix. So I wanted to get out of that day-to-day stuff, and I didn't have a passion for the technology anymore. You know, we all use it all the time. You know, I have two laptops sitting on my desk right now that I work on all day long. So the technology was not a passion to me. Now it's just kind of a hobby. What was a passion to me is being that expert and teaching people. So I set myself up as my industry expert, as an industry expert within my industry, within the IT industry, what we call it the channel, while I was still setting myself up in business as my IT firm. I was building out my network, and we all know how important networking is, but I was networking within my own industry, not just within businesses in my local community.
I see. So it sounds like you really had this extended vision. I mean, you knew where you were going, and it was just a matter of getting there, right?
It was just a matter of getting there. I knew long-term, Tom, you've known me a long time, I've bounced around a few things, but even now, I'm even thinking about what I'm going to do next, okay? Well, I have a successful consulting practice with clients around the globe. I'm thinking about what do I want to do next? What do I want to do when I turn 45? What do I want to do when I turn 50? When do I want to retire? I always have some type of exit strategy that I'm thinking about, and I think that also makes me an industry authority because I'm thinking about what's next. What's next for my clients? What's next for my industry? What am I going to talk about next? What do people want to hear from me? So, you always have to keep that vision going to be that expert. You know, stay on kind of on the bleeding edge of whatever you're doing, but be able to talk about it with people that they understand it.
Well, with that, having that specific vision and knowing where you want to go, one of the things I want to touch on is specific marketing strategies that help get you there, or that you use to help get you to the point that you want where you wanted to be. So, were there some specific marketing strategies that you implemented that you really tried to target for yourself?
Are we talking currently or are we talking in the past?
Well, I think probably both. Start off with the past and then, your thoughts, what you planned on doing, and did those things work? And if they did, are those still currently things that you're doing today?
Okay. In the past, when I had my IT company, I did zero marketing. I invested $0 into marketing. And people look at me and go, wow, Stuart, I can't believe you did that. You got to spend something on marketing. Okay. So if I had to actually spend something on marketing, it was my $300 a year to the Chamber of Commerce or BNI memberships or something like that. Again, I worked the system, so to speak. I was out there. I put myself out there. I was out there shaking hands and kissing babies. Okay. I call it politics. We've got to meet people. So many people are afraid to just stick out their hands and say, hi, I'm Stu. It's nice to meet you. Okay? And my friend and former client and someone that I still stay in touch with, Dave Sherman, has a book out, and is me pimping out my buddy Dave, is X amount of numbers of ways to break the ice. Okay? I think it's 308 ways to break the ice. Okay? And especially people in my industry, the IT industry, I like to call them wallflowers sometimes because they'll go to the prom and stand against the wall. They'll go to a networking event and stand against the wall and wait for somebody to come to them. Okay? Most technical people will hide in a cupboard. I put myself out there. I was the extrovert where I really wanted to be the introvert. You know, people at the time scared me, but I put myself out there. That's how I did my marketing. Today, to put myself out there, I still kind of do the same thing. I go to a lot of events. I speak at events. I work with a number of vendors. I put, you know, key vendors within my industry. But I do write a blog. I do have a website. I am out there on the social media. I don't put any money into any kind of marketing per se. Because I am very picky about the clientele I take on now, I let the industry promote me. I let the things that I do within the industry, the places that I'm at within the industry, promote me. And, you know, sometimes you got to pick sides and take on your clients the way you do, but actual marketing for my business, either now or then, was really little to none. Mm-hmm. And today the way I truly market is through the social media, is through Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, my blog, you know, things along those lines. And I've used those tools to, again, solidify my position within my industry as an expert.
Okay. So let's go into, you know, one of those aspects of, you know, like social media. And you mentioned it before, like you have a blog and, you know, obviously your website. So that requires writing. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, writing and creating content that helps people, it's a great way to expand your reach and then establish your position as an industry leader. So I'm curious, though, how do you determine what topics to write about, you know, whether it's on your blog or, you know, if you're writing for, like, an industry publication? How do you come up with topics, and then how do you determine where to distribute that material?
You know, it's a great question. And, you know, every now and again, I'm sure you've experienced this, you get a little writer's block, and then something will click, and you want to write everything about it. And right now, I probably have 15 articles that I'm working on over the last couple months for blog articles. And really, it's things that get under my skin or get on my nerves, okay, about the industry, people, vendors, whatever it happens to be. And there's every one of my articles, everything that I write about, whether it's on my blog or in an industry publication or on Facebook or whatever it happens to be, has a story behind it. So everything's got to be a story, something I've heard, something I've read, something's happened, something's happened to one of my clients, something, okay? And that's how I get my creative juices flowing to write that. And I do tell my clients, hey, write a blog. Put yourself out there. Write a newsletter. Put relevant information. And I can tell you, if it's relevant to me and relevant to one of my clients, I'm 95% sure it's relevant to the rest of the industry. So they want to hear somebody say it. So they want to hear somebody put it out there. And maybe it's just relevant in business in general, because I try to talk or write in overall business terminology, not just technical terminology. And so where I get my information or my subject matter is from things that happen. Things I've seen, maybe bad customer service, and I can talk about that all day long. You know, selling approaches, business approaches. Like today I was on a conference call with, you know, five of my clients that are in a peer group that I run, and we were talking about the psychology of running a business successfully, okay? And they were all quiet. So that's something that I'm going to write about in the next couple weeks. What's the psychology about running a business successfully? It's not about just selling or marketing or providing services. It's all of it together. And so, you know, it's these things that I'll think up, like driving in the car and, you know, open up my iPhone voice recorder and start making some notes as I'm driving. So, you know, getting that subject matter is pretty much whatever pops in my head, or it's something that's relevant to who my audience is, because that's one thing I do understand. I do understand who my audience is and who's reading my blog and who's reading what I say and who's attending the conferences that I'm speaking at.
Well, I imagine with your clients, you know, if you're recommending to them that they should also do, you know, writing to help, you know, expand their reach and, you know, establish their position as industry leaders, you probably run into a similar problem that I do, where, you know, yes, the writer's block, but then, you know, a lot of people saying, well, you know, I'm not a writer, I don't really know how to write. What do you say when those situations come up where people just tell you I'm not a good writer? And what's your recommendation for that?
Well, that's kind of the same thing as I hear from IT people. Well, I'm not a salesperson. I can't sell. I'm like, well, you can put your mind to whatever you want to do. If you have a message, put it out there. And I always tell them, run it past me, and I'll correct it. Okay? See, my clients aren't alone. As a business coach, it's kind of my job to make sure they're putting their best foot forward. And a big part of that is to verify what they're putting out to the world, what they're putting out on a blog, what they're putting out in social media, and just make sure it's working for them. So, you know, if they say they're not right, I'm like, outline it. Okay, write down whatever you want. Just run on sentences, you know, bad paragraphs, bad punctuation. I don't care. But, but send it to me and I'll proof it. We'll make it pretty. And usually I'll run that stuff past my top writer, which is my wife, Lori, and, kind of allow her to fix it up and we'll talk about it and then we'll get it back to the client. They'll throw it out on their blog or on their newsletter or whatever it happens to be. But we'll clean it up for them. I don't care if they're not a writer. Okay, find somebody that can help you. And in this case, I would recommend for your listeners to run their stuff past you. Yeah, okay? You're very talented. I've known you a long time. You're very good at what you do. Have people run stuff past you. And, that should be a service maybe you're offering or, which I'm sure you do. But
that is
people,
something that I offer.
If you're not a writer, you've got to write stuff out. Okay? Don't sell yourself short. You are a writer. You know, you were never back in school. You used to have to write book reports and essays and stuff like that. Think back. What do you want to talk about? Okay? And if you have the ability to work with someone like Tom, here's my shout out for Tom and his business, run it by him. Have him proof it. Have him get it ready for publication.
I appreciate that plug, Stuart. Yeah. You know, and you brought up a point, though, right at the beginning of that is when you come up ideas, you go ahead and you'll pull out your phone and you'll just record some thoughts. And that's something that I recommend to people a lot. If they feel like they're not a writer, well, they're probably more comfortable just speaking ideas. So just start recording your ideas. And it's amazing how you can turn that into an article very easily. Just get your thoughts transcribed or transcribe them yourself. And then, boy, you're 75% of the way there. You've got an article. You've got a topic. Because if you're just talking, it's something that you're passionate about. And sometimes it's hard to carry what you speak over to what you write, especially when you're really passionate about it, because your fingers, when you're typing, just don't go as fast as what your mind does. So, and that's one of my recommendations for people who don't. They feel like they just can't write well. Just start recording stuff.
Well, and, you know, a lot of people don't write well. It's just sometimes it is what it is, and, you know, and that's okay. Have someone like you, like I said, have someone like you proof it. Have someone that they trust proof it. But just write, get your words out there. And the cool thing is that when you start putting your words out there, you start understanding what you're talking about. You're educating yourself. And I'm an avid reader of other business coaches, and I'm a big fan of Jeffrey Gittimer. And he always used to say, you know, you have to be enthusiastic about your business, but you also need to believe in it. And if you believe what you're writing, what you're putting out there, you'll be more enthusiastic about offering the service, okay, offering whatever you're doing.
Wow, that is such a great tip, Stuart. It's so true. When you start writing about something, I mean, it helps you learn it better, and you just become more passionate about it. God, I totally forgot about that one. That's a phenomenal tip. So true. Next one, I wanted to go into speaking. In addition to writing, speaking, obviously is another great way to position yourself as an industry expert, and you speak at quite a few events. You know, from following you online, I see when you're at these different events. What's your strategy for making yourself available as a speaker, and then how do you secure speaking opportunities?
It's kind of strange. A lot of events will just say, "Hey, Stu, would you like to come and speak at our event?" Sure. And I'll get a email saying, "Hey, we're having a call for papers. Will you come up with some stuff that you want to speak about?" Sure. So again, because I've set myself up as an industry expert, I'm asked to speak a lot. I've turned a few down. I like to get paid for speaking at events. I typically do get paid for speaking at events because I am an industry expert. But you got to put yourself out there. You got to ask, especially when you're getting started in kind of an industry to speak at them. You just got to ask. And But part of it is even if you need to start setting yourself up as an industry expert, ask to be on panels. If you're going to be in an event, ask to be on a panel. If you're a dentist, ask to be on a panel at a dental conference. If you're an IT guy and you want to specialize in dental, in dentists, get on a panel at a dental conference. If you have a couple clients who are dentists at that point, you know what? Get testimonials from them. You know, make yourself the expert and then speak to them. What can the technology do for you, Mr. Dennis? What can the technology do for you, Mr. Doctor or Dr. whoever? But make yourself the expert. Make yourself available as a speaker. Just ask. And here's the thing, folks. It's just like selling, because now you're selling yourself. The worst they can say is no next time. Fine. Moving on. But hold yourself up to lunch and learns. Join Toastmasters so you're a good speaker. Get educated. Make practice. Okay? Record yourself in front of a video camera and submit it on YouTube, okay? People are going to find you, and they're going to want you to speak at different events. Again, become the expert. Do whatever you can do to position yourself as the expert, whether it's speaking at events, writing about events. You know, you write enough, people are going to, you know, people within your industry are going to notice that, and they're going to say, hey, would you like to talk about this? You know, I wrote a blog, I don't know, 2 years ago, about hiring the right people or getting your clients engaged. And one of our leading industry magazines asked me to write an article for them from the CEO's perspective of bringing the right people. And so, you know, it was published in Channel Pro Magazine last July, and I've got it framed up on my wall. It was really nice. Again, a leading industry publication asked me to write for them. And they say, you know, anytime you want to write for us, feel free. So, again, you know, you put stuff out there, and now your industry will take notice of you. And so, you know, and they'll ask you to talk about it, you know. And so, it just takes time. You got to keep working, quote unquote, the system. But, you know, if there's an event that you want to speak on and there's a call for papers, apply for it. Ask for it. If you know somebody there, say, hey, I'd really like to talk about this subject matter. And it may not be on the agenda, but if they like the subject matter, they know you're an expert, they'll put it on there.
Do you notice that, you know, whether it's getting published in a industry publication or speaking at an event, once you do it a couple times, is it kind of like the snowball effect that people will notice that, and then you'll just start getting more opportunities? Because, you know, once you've kind of broken over that first hurdle, you know, then more opportunities come?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A couple years ago, I got my first real speaking event at an event. And I did a presentation called Selling IT Services, How Not to Suck at It. And one of the things I asked my audience, and there was like 150 people in the room, one of the things I asked my audience, why did you show up to this thing? And I said, was it because of the title or because of the subject matter? And 3/4 of the room raised their hands because of the title. So I marketed myself based on pain points, okay? And once I did that, they asked me to come back to their next event and do the same presentation. And, you know, time and time again, you know, people ask me to talk about selling and growing their business, things like that. So it is kind of a snowball effect based on you do it once, you'll be asked time and time again.
Well, speaking of events, I know you put on your own yearly event, Spring Training for Business, and I was just hoping you can go into a little detail on how that came about and what has your event done as far as establishing you as an industry authority.
Well, my event for the last 2 years, Spring Training for Business, has been held here in Arizona in March, spring training. And just like spring cleaning or spring training for baseball, because I'm a huge baseball fan, we got to train for the upcoming year. Where typically in Q1, which is where March ends, it's a little slow for people. So I'm kind of taken into the whole training for the season, okay? And the industry, the event's a 2.5-day event based on building process. And sales, marketing, CEO level, you know, hiring and firing, communications, customer service, you know, number of topics based around based around our industry, okay? And the reason it is Spring Training for Business is because I want to train people to communicate better within their own communities and their own internal staff. And most of the people that come to it are business owners. Most of them have been my clients or people that have heard about the event. But, again, the event continues to solidify. I don't think it would establish me as an industry authority, but it solidifies my position in the industry. And the first one I did, I had been in business, I decided to do it, you know, 3 weeks after starting my company. And the second one I've done was this past year, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be doing it again. Probably not, for a number of reasons. And also ways I'm changing my business model. I get plenty of opportunities to speak at different events, but it is a lot of fun. And putting on events and going to events is really important. One of the things I do tell my clients, and I'll tell that to any business owner that's listening to this, is you don't have to do big events. You can do small events to educate people about what you do and why you're the best for it. And what we call in those industries is lunch and learn. So you bring 10 or 15 or 20 people to lunch, and you give them a sales pitch or a presentation about what you do and why it's important to them. So you get an hour to do an elevator pitch, so to speak. But you educate people, and you can do smaller events. And, again, you establish yourself as an authority, as an expert in whatever, in janitorial service, in IT services, in copywriting, whatever it happens to be, you set yourself up as the expert. So you can, I always recommend to my clients that I work with, do a lunch and learn once a quarter, do four of them a year, do five of them a year. Do it on different subject matters. Even bring in some of your vendors to help sponsor it based on whatever they do. But be that expert in your market. Be that expert in your community. And, you know, you get 10 people or 12 people or 15 people to a lunch and learn, how deep is their Rolodex? People are going to be, hey, you know, I went to this great lunch and learn that was sponsored by XYZ Computer Company, and man, they were talking about how the cloud computing and stuff online and, you know, security and this and that. They're awesome. I need them to come to my office. You know what? Maybe you should come in here, Mr. Business Owner buddy of mine, and listen to ABC Computer Company as well. And, again, people will listen. Most people want to be led, okay? And if you set yourself up as that industry authority or that expert, people will listen to what you have to say, whether they agree with you or they don't agree with you, okay? Everyone's entitled to their opinion, and they don't have to agree with you. I have people that don't like what I have to say, but they still listen because it's relevant. And if you're going to be talking about something or putting on an event or blogging, make sure it's relevant to your audience.
Well, that kind of ties into the next question. And with as an industry leader, you're seen as somebody who is a thought leader as well. And I guess people turn to you for ideas, like maybe it's where the industry is going and what to expect in the future. How do, whether it's speaking at events, writing articles, even for your own event, I mean, how do you come up with fresh ideas and, thoughts that people can latch onto? And, I'm sure there's probably you may have come up ideas, but, and you don't know whether people are going to latch onto those ideas, but, do you have any strategy that you use for just coming up with fresh ideas to talk about?
Well, in my opinion, I think it's hit and miss. I throw a lot of things at the wall and not everything sticks, right? So again, it goes back to it goes back to relevance, okay? When you think of something or when I think of something for the industry, is it going to be relevant to the people listening to me? And if it's not, maybe I'll just put it aside for right now. But if I'm on a panel about something and talking about, say, let's talk about cloud computing because I'm actually hosting with one of my clients in New York in a few weeks a cloud summit for them. So cloud computing is all hot and new, Microsoft with their commercials to the cloud, okay? So how do we make that exciting, okay? It's basically what you're doing now on your computer, but it's all on the Internet, okay? So how do we get that exciting? So there's got to be some relevance on how it helps businesses, okay? And as an industry business expert, okay, when I help one of my clients with ideas to do events like this, and I'm just, we're just talking about a small part of it, the events part, we've got to think of things that are going to be exciting. And again, like I mentioned earlier, we've got to think bleeding edge, but maybe talk cutting edge, okay? Because a good percentage of business owners out there do not understand bleeding edge technology. But they understand that, hey, we need to do this. They've heard it on TV. They've read about it in the Wall Street Journal or the business section of the Arizona Republic, or seen it on 12 News or ABC 15 or whatever. They've heard about something, and they're looking for somebody to lead them down that road. And maybe the person that's fixing their computers doesn't know jack about cloud computing or data centers or virtualizations or any of the stuff that I might have just rattled off, but neither does the business owner, but they've heard about it. So, you know, as, you know, when I think about fresh ideas, I want my, you know, my fresh ideas are for my clients to be talking to their clients, their customers, about what's new and what's hot and how it's going to help them. When I'm reading stuff, you know, whether it's from Apple.com or from Microsoft or any of the industry blogs that are out there, MSPMentor.com, TheBarGuy.com, CRN, Channelnomics, any of the industry blogs or magazines that I read, you know, I'll sometimes have a debate with other industry experts like myself. You know, I like this, I didn't like this, what do you think about this, do you think this is a bunch of bullpucky? And then I'll run it by my clients, and I'll put my personal spin on it, and I'll get their take on it. So as far as ideas that I have, you know, when we talk about the cloud, and I say, well, maybe it's just there's just a bunch of haze, or there's talk about disaster recovery, you know. Some of the ideas I come up are based around world events, okay? And, you know, I just kind of keep my ear to the ground. I can't kind of keep my eyes open, my mouth shut a lot. But when I do open my mouth, or I do, you know, take the cap off my pen and start writing stuff down, it's relevant. So my ideas that I come up with need to be relevant, and, you know, I'm very careful about what I put out there. And when I do put something out there, people just seem to gravitate to it or latch onto it, like you asked.
Now, I know one of the ways that you put ideas and your thoughts out there is through social media, and, you know, I especially follow you on Facebook and Twitter. And I think social media is still something that, for a lot of businesses, it's still kind of confusing. They don't really know how to use it. What are some of your tips for using social media effectively?
Okay. Depends on if it's personal or business. And, you know, I kind of have for me personally, I have an overlap. I have a couple Twitter accounts. I have a Facebook account. I have a business Facebook page. I have a blog, which I still consider social media, LinkedIn account. I've got everything that I have. And the most important thing that I see that you can do is have a central location to manage it all. Okay? I use TweetDeck to manage my Facebook and Twitter. And I have, you know, if I want, and I have everything linked in back and forth. Twitter to LinkedIn, LinkedIn to Twitter to Facebook to Twitter, Facebook to my blog, network blogs. So I manage it all from one central location. So I'm not logging into three or four or five different websites all the time. And also, you know, you use your mobile devices to manage a lot of these social pages. But again, put relevant information out there. If you're going to use your social media effectively, have separate accounts for business and work. Okay. You can make yourself human on business. You know, like my Facebook page for my business is facebook.com/Stuart Selfs Consulting, and my personal Facebook page is facebook.com/Stuart Selfs. And I do sometimes tweet or put stuff out there that's business on my personal page, but I never put anything personal on my business page. I want people to know that me, Stuart Selfs, I'm human. I'm real. I'm going to make mistakes. But as a business consulting firm, as a firm, hey, I'm going to put stuff out there that I want people to think about. Okay, I want people to follow that page more than I want people to follow me on Twitter, which, you know, a lot of, you know, 1,000 or so people do, but, you know, or how many friends do I have on LinkedIn, which is, you know, 1,000 or so. But it's who they know. And so my presence on Facebook, sometimes I won't post anything for a day or two, because I don't have anything relevant to say business-wise. But I might say some stuff personally. But if I, you know, like today on my Stuart Selfs Consulting Facebook page, I put a couple posts up there about things that are relevant. One of them was, what does your perfect client look like? Are you finding new ones like that? If not, maybe that should be your focus. And also, I wrote something that would, you know, kind of go into what we're talking about. Is your newsletter providing relevant information to your clients and prospects? It's our opinion that relevant articles get read and forwarded more often. So again, if you're writing about something relevant to your market, people are going to read it. People are going to forward it to the people they know. So you can use the social media, Facebook, Twitter, things like that, to push stuff out. So that's what I would do. I would make sure everything works together. I would make sure that you're putting a good message out there, putting your best foot forward, kind of like dating. When you're dating someone, you're always on your best behavior until it becomes a better relationship and you're comfortable with each other. So be on your best behavior when you're doing social media until you're comfortable with it, until you have enough followers, until people who know you, really know you, can deal with your idiosyncrasies and the mistakes that we make as human beings. But always put your best foot forward. Be safe about what you're doing on social media, especially on a personal level. On a business level, represent your company enthusiastically. Represent your company to the best of your ability in a public forum, because that's what it is. It is a public forum. And honestly, if Facebook got shut down tomorrow, it'd still be out there, folks. Everything you say is still out there. So make sure what you put out there is relevant, is representing you, your family, your clients to the best of your ability. So that's the way I would use, I try to use social media effectively.
What about the interactivity component to social media? Is that something that you have to deal with, like where people are commenting on your posts and maybe it might be something that's negative, and I imagine most of it is positive, but how do you deal with the interactivity, like when people are asking you questions or commenting on stuff? Do you have any type of, maybe it's set rules for how much you should respond, or
Well, if it's my post, I have full control over it. Okay, so if it does go negative, I'll delete the thread. Okay, a lot of times I try not to post anything that goes negative. I've done that in the past. I've made my mistakes. And if somebody posts something that I don't like, I'll delete that post, especially if it's mine. I'm one of those people that I'm really trying to, as I improve myself, because improving ourselves is something that we try to do every single day. Try to think before I speak or think before I write something. If it's not going to benefit me or not going to benefit my clients, not going to benefit the industry, not going to represent my family correctly, then I'm not going to post it. I can think it to myself. So negative threads, if they're on my page or on my wall, I'm deleting them. I don't want it to go there. I don't want to be represented. I associate with that. Because people judge you by those who you associate with all the time. And that's the last thing that I ever want to be affiliated with. So the negative posting and stuff like that, I try to stay out of that. I try not to get in, try to pick my battles. And if it's on my stuff, I'll just delete it and move on. Take the higher road.
Okay, good point. Final question for you. I know we're getting to, about 41 minutes here, so I want to respect your time. And I want to get this one last question in, and this is related to a component of most businesses, it's extremely important, in addition to social media, that carries over to business websites. And I was curious to know, what tips do you have for creating a website that helps portray you as an industry authority? And maybe that's not you, your business as a leading business in the industry.
Right. Well, great question, and really relevant to today. I don't know if you knew this, but YouTube is the number one search engine. Okay, the demographic of people coming out of college to about 35 years old use, and I don't know if that's an exact statistic, but it's pretty close, use YouTube before they'll use Google or Bing to search for something. So if you're going to have a website that portrays you as an industry authority, get testimonials, video testimonials from your clients, but also put a video message up on your website, something that you're about. And like you and I were talking, you came up with this idea to have this call with me based on a video that you saw that I did a couple weeks ago, setting yourself up as an industry expert. I've taken that video, and it's on the front page of my website. Video, YouTube, is very important if you're going to set yourself up as an industry authority. If your clients love you enough to not only write a testimonial but to record a video testimonial and allow you to put it on YouTube and on your website, you know what? You are the expert then, okay? Plank, done and done. You are the expert. You can get four or five video testimonials, put them together on a nice YouTube video. People are going to start looking for your company or looking for what you do on YouTube versus on Google. But then you also have that on your website, and you can put content with it, and your content needs to be right on with what you're saying. You need to have the right keywords. And I'm sure, Tom, you'd probably agree with me. When you're writing content for someone's website, you use the correct keywords that will help them go higher in the Google searches or the search engine optimization, or SEO, as we call it, to portray you as an industry expert or an industry authority. And you can just say, we are the experts in that, and that'll give you some relevance. But if you don't have people saying, hey, Joe Schmo is the expert, and we use him because, then you don't have a leg to stand on. And that goes back, oh, gosh, 8 or 9 years when I first met, again, Dave Sherman, who says, hey, you know, Stu, I like you, but why are you the best at what you do? And I said to him, I turned around and said, let me prove it to you. No one's ever said that to him. Let me prove to you. Hire me and let me prove to you why I'm the best at what I do.
Yeah.
Blew him away. He hired me and, you know, he wrote testimonials for me. He talked about me when he spoke. He says, you know, I see people say we give great service all the time, but how do I know? And this one guy, Stuart Self, said, let me prove it to you. What a sales pitch, he said. So as you're creating your website, come up with content that's, again, it comes back to relevance. Relevance about you, who you are. And the best thing I can say is get a YouTube channel. Get a YouTube account and get video testimonials from your clients. Put them on YouTube. Get good content on the description about the video. Get it on your website. Get that video out there because, you know what, you want to be in the on the first page of Google and Bing, of course, but when people are searching for what you do on YouTube, you want to be in the top three. Because if you're not in the top three, they're only going to watch, you know, one or two or three videos. You know, that's 10 minutes time, and you know, you want your video to be a minute and a half to 2 minutes max so they can understand what you do and why you do it. So go invest in a small video camera, a small HD video camera, and shoot some video, folks. Put it up on your website and make yourself an industry expert and industry authority.
Excellent. I couldn't agree with you more. The videos are extremely powerful, so it's a great point there. Well, Stuart, I want to thank you for your time here, and you gave some great information on how to become your industry's obvious expert, but I also want to allow you some time to, you know, in case people have questions or want to get in contact you, contact with you to give out your information and, you know, what's the best way if people do have questions to reach you.
Sure. I'm always open to take questions from people, no matter how good the question or how dumb you might think it is. There's no such thing as a dumb question. I'm always open to email, and my email address is Stuart, S-T-U-A-R-T, at stuartselfs.com, and I'll spell that out for you, S-T-U-A-R-T-S-E-L-V-S-T.com. My blog address is MSPCoaching, M-S-P-C-O-A-C-H-I-N-G.com. You can always call me. My telephone number is 480-389-5481. That's my office number, and you can always get a hold of me. What we do here at Stuart Self Consulting is executive-level coaching for businesses, mostly focused on technology, but we do understand all businesses need a little help. And anybody who contacts me that wants some help, some focus on their business, I don't care what business you're in, mention Tom's name or mention Rightway, and I will give you a free hour of time. And we'll just kind of review your company from a 30,000-foot view and give you some pointers, and then we'll see where we go.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you making that offer, Stuart. That's great. Well, again, you know, appreciate all this information. There's definitely some great tips that people can go back and they can listen to, and some great, even more important than tips, actionable ideas that people can take right now to help elevate their position in their industry. So, again, Stuart, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Anytime, Tom. I'm always happy to catch up with you, and it needs to be more often than every 3 or 4 years that we catch up and have a conversation.
I agree. Well, thank you, Stuart.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Tom Trush from RightWaySolutions.com with a final tip. If you'd like more free ideas for enhancing your marketing message and building your business, please visit www.rightwaysolutions.com/blog. That's www.rightwaysolutions.com/blog.